Going to be reading from John 17, 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's commonly referred to as the church's prayer, Jesus' church prayer, about us all being one, and the glory of God being in us as one being. We're going to talk about glory and spiritual hope this morning. Everybody needs a little bit of hope. And as we've gotten into a new year, we never know what to expect in a new year. We have our ups and downs, but as Christians, as a part of the body of Christ, we know that no matter what happens in our life, God is always with us. There's a funny little conversation between Phil and Erlene. Erlene says, Phil, I heard you flew to California on vacation. I'll bet that was great. No, Erlene, Phil replied, that was bad. When I got there, I missed the bus from the airport to my hotel. Oh, said Erlene, that's bad. No, Phil replied, that wasn't bad. I got a taxi and the driver was very friendly. Erlene says, well, that's good. No, said Phil, that's bad. The transmission in the taxi broke before we even got away from the airport. Oh, Erlene said, that's bad. No, Phil replied, that was good. Reverse gear still works, so we weren't altogether stranded. Oh, Erlene said, well, that's good. No, said Phil, that's bad. The driver decided to drive me all the way to my hotel backwards. Well, Erlene replied, that's bad. No, said Phil, that was good. When we finally did get to the hotel, the driver owed me $6.40. So there's good and bad in everything, according to how you see it. It's all about your perspective on life. Jerry Seinfeld kind of puts it this way. He says, life is truly a ride. We're all strapped in and no one can stop it. As you make each passage from youth to adulthood to maturity, sometimes you put your arms up and scream. Sometimes you just hang on to that bar in front of you. But the ride is the thing. I think the most you can hope for at the end of your life is that your hair's messed, you're out of breath, and you didn't throw up. We are in a new year, and like every year, we don't know what to expect. We know that we're going to have our ups and downs, but we do know that there is spiritual hope because Jesus is with us, God's with us, the Holy Spirit within us. We know that things will be just fine. Now, when it comes to church and people looking for spiritual hope, there are those who still attend church to see what they can get out of God. It doesn't quite work that way. So we have to think to ourselves, did you come to church to worship God, or did you come to church to fulfill your personal needs? I think we really think about both. We are here to worship God, but we are also here to fulfill our personal needs, our spiritual needs. Because as we are here with other Christians, we fulfill our spiritual hunger by fellowshipping together, by listening to God's word, by praying and singing together. We see spiritual hope through the songs and through the message. Many of the faster-growing churches today are what you might call customer-focused. They survey the community, determine what the community is looking for, and then fashion their church accordingly. And I'm not one to criticize that. I think it's great. If you can get people in the church doors, wonderful. They may learn a little bit about Christ. How you get them there, sometimes I have a little bit of disagreement between whether it's entertainment or worship. But the ultimate thing is bringing people through those doors and introducing them to Christ. There are those churches that are tradition-centered. They sing time-tested hymns, have the ritual liturgies, and those things that have grown out of centuries of their denomination. But then there are those who, like I said, tend to be more community-centric and provide worship services that meet the needs of the community. And I mentioned earlier that we have been chosen to be assisted as a vital congregation, and that's one of the things that we're going to try and figure out, how we can better serve the community, provide for the community's spiritual hope and spiritual needs, those things that will bring them through those doors and by our loving and caring, keep them in the church. And these different kinds of churches, it cuts across all the different denominations. There's the very strict Roman Catholic philosophy. There's the Protestant philosophy, and some are traditional, like the Methodists, and some are not quite as traditional. There's the evangelicals, and then there is the non-denominational churches that we see growing quite a bit these days because they have figured out what the people need. And it's not easy to design a worship service for both worship and fulfilling people's needs. You hear churches talk about blended worship. Well, it's a little bit of tradition and a little bit of more progressive type worship. And that's probably that middle line where you need to be to keep the people that are used to the traditional church and bring people in that are looking for something new, something that will fulfill their spiritual needs. And that's what the church prayer, Jesus' church prayer, is all about. It's about asking God the Father to bring glory to us in the same way that God brought glory to Him. It's all about being a part of that one body where we've got the Trinity, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are one body as a people, as this church, as many churches. We are one in the body of Christ. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And we are supposed to have glory. God, Jesus says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. I have given them glory. Do you have your glory? Do you feel your glory this morning? Do you know that God is with you? Do you feel that Holy Spirit inside you? I know typically we think about glory. We normally put that to God. We hear things in the Bible like the glory of God or the glory of God Almighty. We usually attribute glory to God, but glory is not just a God thing. God gave Jesus the glory. Jesus gives us the glory through the Holy Spirit. Even in the Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Or Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Jesus. And we want Him to come in. We want Him to help us to fight our battles. We want Him to lift us up in those down times as we're going to face them throughout the year. We want Him to be there as we celebrate those good times, those up times with us. Psalm 26:8 says, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. And so we normally attribute glory to God, but we can have the same glory. We can have that same spiritual hope that God has, that the Son has that the Holy Spirit gives us. There is spiritual hope. We all need some kind of hope. And our hope lies in God and in Jesus. There was a survey done among junior high students, and they were asked to describe the God that you believe in. And here's some of their responses. He'll always be there even when you don't think he is. Good description. He's not a man or a woman. He's a spirit, a light that's everlasting. Strong, powerful, loving, caring, forgiving, mysterious. The God who loves us no matter what we do, the one true God. Awesome. God is a 100% guarantee of a problem-free life. Now, that one I don't quite agree with. God's not going to guarantee you a problem-free life. But some people think that. I believe in the God that sent his only son to die on the cross. He loves all people, even me. He is kind, just, merciful, stern. He's fun, has a sense of humor. He wants me to obey him. And those are some of the responses from this survey, these junior high school students. And all those kinds of things are wrapped up in God's glory. The glory that we see in God and the glory that he provides for us. We just have to realize that we are a part of a greater being, a part of that true vine, if you will, as Jesus puts it. We are all a part of that. We are fed by God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we need to think about is that any place God dwells, there is glory. Just like Psalm 26:8, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Well, if God dwells within us through the Holy Spirit, then that glory dwells within us. So we have to realize that we have spiritual hope in our lives. Our bodies are that temple where God resides, where the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. And if God dwells in your life, then you have glory. The mistake we make is the assumption that glory comes from something we do, that glory is something we accomplish, and that's not the case. Glory is a gift. It's not something that we can do. You can't earn your way into heaven. Glory is a gift from God. And it's that thing that we hunger for. We hunger for spiritual hope. Even modern seekers and skeptics about Christianity, they are looking for some kind of hope, a spiritual hope. They hunger for that thing in their soul that they may not even realize what it is. But we know what it is, and we can help others to see that. There's a lady named Ruth Bell Graham who tells a story about driving down this road with her children. And this has been a newly paved road. And they noticed that there's a little bulge in the asphalt. And so they get to talking about that. And her children are wondering, okay, what's causing the bulge? And one of them says, well, it's an oak tree. Another one says, no, it's a locust. Another one says, no, it's a walnut. And there's a young girl says, I know. It's a morning glory, and that's the glory coming up. God is all-powerful. God's world has great strength. We've all seen where roots have broken concrete, roots have pushed up through asphalt. And if you think about it, especially something that's just been recently resurfaced, there's probably gravel and dirt and asphalt that thick, but God has the power through his plants and such to push through that. God has that kind of glory, that kind of power. There's a man named Edward Bach who was years ago the editor for the Ladies' Home Journal. He tells a story about his grandfather. His grandfather was commissioned by the King of Denmark to lead a band of soldiers against pirates who were playing havoc along the shipping lanes on a certain coastal area. His grandfather set up his headquarters on a rocky, desolate island just off the coast, and after a few years was able to clear the pirates out of those shipping lanes. And upon returning to the mainland, he reported to the king. The king was so very pleased, he offered Bach anything he wanted. Bach looked at him and says, "All I want is a plot of land on that island where I've been living." That island, remember, is rock and barren. There's nothing there. So the king was like, "Why would you want to live there?" And the king's aides were thinking that Edward Bach is nuts. Why would he want to live in a place like that? So he replied to the king, "I want to make the island beautiful." And they're thinking, that's not going to happen, because that island is constantly swept by storms and high winds. Think about your life. We're constantly bombarded by storms and high winds. And they thought, well, he's not ever going to be able to get anything to happen there. But we know that with God, anything is possible. So he went there to live. He built a home and finally was able to bring his wife to live with him. For years, they worked industriously, persistently, planting shrubs and trees and grass. Gradually, all that took hold. The island began to flourish. One morning, they arose and heard birds singing, something that had never been heard on that island ever before. Eventually, the island became a showplace, and now it's visited by tourists every year. When his grandfather died, his grandfather requested that the following words be inscribed on his tombstone: "Make you the world a bit more beautiful and better because you have been in it." Now, that's not the end of the story. Edward Bach, their grandson, who was an American citizen, he had immigrated here, believed that anyone who was able to do so should retire at 50. I could go along with that. Anyway, spend the rest of their life making a world that is better. So he acquired this plot of land on this place called Iron Mountain in Florida. It was about 325 feet above sea level, because, you know, most of Florida is right at sea level. So it was one of the highest points in Florida, actually. But it was like what his grandfather experienced. It was rather barren. So he set out to make this a sanctuary, planting trees and shrubs and vegetation and getting all that going. Today, that place is called Mountain Lake Sanctuary in Lake Wales, Florida. He did the same thing his grandfather did. He made it more beautiful than when he first acquired it. And he asked that they put on his tombstone the same thing his grandfather had: "Make you the world a bit more beautiful and a better place because you have been in it." So, when you came into the world, you had nothing. You should work towards making the world more beautiful and leave something to those who come after you. Make the world a better place. And with God, we can do that, because God is all glory. God is all powerful. He can make those things happen through us. God can bring us to a place where we need to be, where he wants us to be, even if we have been distant for a long time. Even if you haven't been in church for years, God will welcome you with open arms when you walk through that door. Even in your family, if someone has been gone, estranged, and they come back, you welcome them with open arms. Y'all remember the story of the prodigal son. That's what that's all about. It's about welcoming people back to God. And that's what we're going to have to work at. Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, all of us have probably seen him in commercials and stuff years ago, he was an advocate of adoption because he was an adopted child. And he was very grateful for the love of his adoptive family. So he tells this story of a young girl named Candy. She was a teenager when she was adopted. She had only been with her adopted family for about a year when her birth father invited her to lunch in hopes of getting to know her better and maybe answer some of her questions about her life and her background. Her adoptive parents were a little bit unsure of this, but they knew it was important to Candy, so they let her go to lunch with her father. They had a really good lunch. He answered most of her questions, and they got to know each other pretty good. When Candy's adoptive parents arrived at the end of the lunch to pick her up, she did something very unexpected. In the year that she had lived with her adoptive parents, she had never touched or hugged her adoptive father. But now, she reached out to him and locked her arms around her adoptive dad. She grabbed the container with her lunch leftovers, what we used to call the doggy bag. She said, "Papa, take me out to the parking lot. I want to put my lunch in the car." It was just a small gesture, but it announced to the world that Candy was committed to her new family, that she had decided who her father would be. And that's a question that faces all of us. We have our birth father, although the Bible says you have no other father but me. That's why you'll notice in the South we call them dads, not fathers. We have our dads, but we have our adopted father in heaven. And he's the one we should be attached to. He's the one we hug, and he hugs us back. And that's where that glory comes from. We get God's love, God's peace, and we find God's purpose. So I want you to understand, as you move throughout this year, no matter what's happening in your life, whether it's good or bad, that God is with you, and that there is always hope. There is a spiritual hope that resides inside you through the Holy Spirit that comes from God through Jesus to the Holy Spirit in you that will lift you up no matter what the situation, and that is there to be happy with you and celebrate with you when things are going great. Because with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are good in the end. Because he knows where you are and where you need to be. Every once in a while, you see the quote that when God closes a door, he always opens another one, a better one. And you see these things in Facebook that says, quit banging on that old door. It's not going to open. Look at the new door that God has opened for you. Because that's where he wants you to go. That's where his glory is. That's where your spiritual hope lies, through that new door. Because he is with you every hour of every day. No matter what's going on in your life, God is always with you, watching out for you and loving you. Amen.